2015, the year of visitations, manifestations, and demonstrations of the power of God. It's the year of the open door. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, this is Frank and Christina from A History with God Ministries Godcast. Today, right now, with you, hello.
Hello. It snowed.
Oh, and I know you love that.
I do. It didn't snow enough.
You would rather it be more snow out there?
Of course.
How much more?
There can't be enough snow.
Oh, you just want a nor'easter, a total blizzard, 4 feet, like 1977.
Like last year, snow every week.
Snow every week?
A constant state of deep snow. But it's pretty. It's nice. It's white.
Yes. So we almost got stuck in it this morning. A little
a
bit.
A little, nothing.
I had to push.
Yeah.
I had to push the car.
It's okay.
Would you say...
Yeah.
...that the Word of God is the absolute authority, period, end of sentence, done?
Yes.
Ah, but is the mistranslated Word of God the absolute? That is what we're going to be talking about today. Well, because there's some mistranslations out there that I believe, to some degree, confuse and hurt people.
Right. But the wonderful thing is this.
Yes.
If you read the Bible with the Holy Spirit, you will never be led astray. Because the Holy Spirit will give you revelation of the truth. You just read the Bible, like, on the surface. Like, I'm reading my Bible. Okay, I did my Bible reading, and now I'm done. I read the New Testament, read the Old Testament, read one Psalm, read one in Proverbs. Okay, done. Shut the book. Then you might get nothing really revelatory out of it.
Sort of like what you're saying is a conversation I had with Terrence Clark the other day. Mm-hmm. Method without desire is religion.
Explain.
If you're just doing like what you said, I'm going to read my Psalm, read my Proverb, read New Testament, read Old Testament, I'm done. That's right. It's just method. It's just a ritual.
Right.
If you're doing that with no desire to really seek the Lord, mm-hmm. it becomes religious. It becomes this thing you do.
Well,
it's not anything about relationship at that point.
Okay, but I think sometimes people don't know to do anything different because they're not told to do anything different.
Oh, well, they're not taught that.
They're not taught how to read. I mean, I was never taught how to read the Word.
Yeah, but you had a real desire to want to know
God. Yeah, I did, but I still didn't know how. So it still left me kind of high and dry. I'm trying to defend the people out there who have a desire, but they're just
not attacking the people out there.
All right.
I'm just saying one without the other doesn't work.
Okay. But if you don't know that you don't know, you just keep doing what you're told to do.
Okay.
And then you wonder why people are like, I'm tired of this. It's not working. Or, I'm in a wilderness place right now.
The Lord has me in a special place.
I'm not hearing from him. It's not true. And I've been there, so I know. I've said those things.
On today's episode, yes. Christina and I are going to attempt to kind of dispel a couple of mistranslations that you may be praying, you might be reading, you might be believing that this is what it really means, and it actually doesn't.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want to just give a couple of examples so that what it'll kind of show people is don't just take the translation you have at face value. You know, really dive into it for yourself. Get your own revelation. Have your own encounter. Don't depend on our more revelation, although it could be an open door for you to kind of like, oh, exactly. lead you into something right. or someone else's. But don't depend solely on me or Frank or Andrew Womack or Kenneth Copeland or anybody.
Or even Tim or Keith or Teresa or Mary or James.
Absolutely.
As wonderful teachers as they are.
Yes. Find out for yourself, although those are good places to start.
One thing I just want to add. I had asked the Lord about this.
Okay.
I said, Lord, why would you allow for a mistranslation of your word? I said, you're so hopped up on don't add another letter to the word. Don't take a letter out of the word. You know what he said to me?
What?
He said, men have free will.
Right.
They're going to do what they're going to do. It does open the door for dialogue.
Right.
He did tell me that.
Well, there's a positive to it. But it's like, yeah. it's like, God, why would you allow, you know, hundreds of children to die in, you know, a war or whatever? Again, you have free will and you actually have the authority. So I think it's the same along those lines.
Yeah. So he really should be asking, why are you allowing it?
Right.
Really?
Right. Right. Again, we have the free will to say about a translation, wait a minute, I don't think that sounds right. Let me go investigate.
Right.
Or you have a decision to say, yeah, I guess I'll just take that guy's word for it.
Right.
So it is our decision.
Well, I have a couple of scriptures that I'm going to kind of present, but I would defer to you first. What do you have?
I was reading the scriptures. And what I'm trying to do now, and I try to remember to do this every time I read it, is to say, okay, Holy Spirit, is there anything in particular you want me to read? Now, I've just been reading through Luke. I think I feel led to read through Luke. I'm like, okay, if I don't feel anything other than that, I just continue to read where I left off. And then I'll say, Holy Spirit, show me something in here that you want me to see, or give me a revelation of something new or something I need to see or whatever. That would be my prayer before I start reading. Open this up for me so that I'm seeing something clearly that you want me to see or that I haven't been seeing. Another thing I did was when I started reading Luke is I read up on Luke. Like, I found out a little bit about who he was, what point of view he had, kind of like a little bit of background
right.
before you start reading the gospel. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.
Okay, that sounds right to me.
Okay, but I had a little issue with that.
What
because
was that?
I'm reading it, and I always had a little problem with this line.
Really?
Yes.
What line?
Give us each day our daily bread.
Hmm.
That didn't sound like God to me. So when I hit something in the word that sounds like a contradiction of God's character,
uh-huh.
it makes a little alarm bells go off.
Let me stop you a minute.
Sure.
How does give us this day our daily bread go against God's character?
Well, I know God is a God of abundance.
Yeah.
And I know God wants to bless us abundantly above anything we could think or ask. And he gives us all things greatly to enjoy.
Right.
So does that sound like that when you say, give us each day our daily bread?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, all right, Lord, just give me my bread for today so I can survive until the next day. And then when the next day comes, I'll ask you again to give me bread again.
Just what I need, me.
Yeah, it's so one dimensional. And Jesus said it. It's in red, so you know he said
red words always win.
So I'm like, okay, then this there's something wrong here because that's not God's character. And I've heard people say, I just want enough for me and my family, and I'm just humble enough to just want enough for me and my family. And that's not humility, okay? That's just plain selfish.
It is.
Because if you have just enough for you and your family, how can you help anybody else?
Yeah, what good are you?
Right. Like, oh, good. You're taken care of.
Yeah, you're set. Nice.
And everyone else can just, you know, whatever.
Fend for themselves.
Okay. So I said, all right, let me start researching this line. So I went online. And again, you have to be careful where you go online. But it's always a good place to start with the language again. Find out what language we're dealing with. So this is the New Testament. So it's either Aramaic or it's Greek. Maybe there are some parts that are Hebrew. I found out an interesting thing, and I found out, and again, you can check this out. You can go and do Greek to English translations. You can go into different websites that translate the scriptures and so on. So I found out that the word daily
Right.
That was translated as daily, yeah, which now is scratched out in my Bible.
I see that.
Was actually a word that is epiosios.
Epiosios.
Epiosios. I think that's how it's pronounced. It's E-P-I-O-U-S-I-O-S. Now, what I found out was the word is believed to be coined by the gospel writers themselves. And actually, some people say that Jesus actually made up the word for that particular time.
Oh, the word didn't exist?
It didn't exist before, and it didn't exist after. It somehow got translated into daily. So this word, epiosios, is not the word that would normally be used in the Greek, which is hemera, which means day. And then there's another word, ephemera, which means only for a day, or I guess as we would translate it, daily.
Okay.
So if you were going to say daily, then you would use that word, which is E-P-H-E-M-E-R-I-A. But Jesus didn't use that word. He used the word E-P-I-O-U-S-I-O-S, epiosios. Some translators say that that's a neologism.
What does that mean?
A neologism, it literally means first word. And what that means is this is the first time it appears.
Oh, I see.
In the scripture.
And the only time, I think, right?
Right. So let's look at that word then, because that's the word that Jesus spoke,
right,
not the word that was translated. Okay. So epi, if you look at the Greek, epi means on or upon or above.
Epi like...
like epidermis.
On the skin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or epiglottis, which is the top of the glottis.
The top of the glottis. An epiglottis.
Right.
Isn't that in your throat?
Yes.
Okay. The top of the glottis?
Yes. Anyway, it means upon.
Got
it means above. Look it up.
On,
you know.
There you
okay.
go.
Now, the other word, the other part of the word, osio, means being, substance, nature, or essence. Now, the second part of the word, osios, has the meaning being substance, nature, or essence.
Okay.
Now, from what I found out from my research, is St. Jerome was one of the first people to translate this. So, St. Jerome translated the Greek New Testament into Latin. For that word, he translated that Greek word into Latin to say supersubstantial, or as we might say, supernatural.
Huh.
Okay.
Oh, so give us this day our supernatural bread?
Right. St. Jerome also says the bread is, quote unquote, above all substance and surpasses all creatures. So what is that substance? What is that super substance or that supernatural bread?
Mm-hmm.
It could be God.
Right.
It could be the Word. It could be Jesus, which Jesus is the Word, and he's also the bread of life. And all the provisions of that.
Okay, so Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got to that line, what was he actually saying?
Well, there's different takes on it, but here's another. I'm reading from a website that I found that this kind of makes sense. There's also an earlier translation into Old Syriac, which is closely related to Aramaic. After the Aramaic Bible came out, the Syriac was largely discarded and unused. Two copies, however, were discovered many centuries later, one of which is in the British Museum. Kenneth Bailey comments on this, saying, Jesus, of course, spoke Aramaic, and Syriac is closely related to Aramaic. Syriac Christians, as they translated the Gospels into Syriac, were therefore taking the words of Jesus out of Greek and returning them to a language very close to his native Aramaic. Most words are the same in these two languages, and the Old Syriac translation of the Lord's Prayer reads, and I'm not going to try and read it in that language, but I'll give you the literal translation, Amen, bread today, give to us. So one of the words means bread, and then another word has the same root as amen, and that's amenio. In Syriac, that word amenio is an adjective that means lasting, never ceasing, never ending, or perpetual. So let's take that same scripture and use that information. Give us today the bread that doesn't run out.
Oh, wow. So that's what he was actually saying.
Well, yeah. Well, he definitely didn't say, give us today our daily bread, period. That
right,
is
right.
a given from right. the information that I've gathered.
And also based on God's character.
And then so now we have a little bit of a clue into that Greek word, which is epiosios, right?
Right.
It's a little bit different than daily.
Than daily. It's actually the opposite.
Yes, it's actually very different. So just to kind of sum up, because we could really, really get very far into this, let me see if I can kind of rework that same sentence in the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples.
Go ahead.
Give us today the bread that is everlasting. Give us this day the perpetual, never ceasing, never ending bread. Give us this day God, Jesus, the Word, and all the provision that would go along with that. Provision that's never ceasing. That kind of really changes that scripture. Now it makes sense to me. That sounds like God's character. So we've been kind of calling it the Amen bread. It's bread that you would eat every day. It's the bread of the Word. It's the truth that you would want to consume every day.
Right.
It's provision for every day. It's overabundant provision. It's never ceasing provision. It's daily revelation. It is a petition for our physical bodies. It's a petition for our soul needs for revelation. And it's from our spirit, from the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It's Amen bread. So all these three things provide life because it is the bread of life.
Amen.
Give us the bread of life, which takes care of everything.
So the literal Aramaic translation is Amen bread today give to us.
Right.
So are you asking every day for everlasting bread? Why would you ask every day for that? If he gives it to you once, that's it. You have it.
Well, you set your petition every day. It could be a thank you that it's already provided. It's been provided for. And remember, this is also an Old Testament prayer.
Right, because Jesus hadn't died yet.
Exactly.
That's right.
And the apostles did say, teach us to pray as John the Baptist.
Right, that's right. The way John prayed.
So I think, you know, there's a little difference to how we would be praying now in the New Testament, but still using everything that Jesus taught.
Right.
So anyway.
That is pretty deep. That's just from one word. You see how one word can change a whole outlook on God.
So don't just read the scriptures so flatly. Now, I understand sometimes you don't have time. And if all you have time is just read the word, then amen. Just today I just have time, I just have time to read it. It's fast food. I got to get you something quick in me and then I got to be off. But then please take the time to get a nourishing meal. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like read it with a glass of wine.
Yeah. And that's another reason why you should subscribe to the devotions every day.
And sit down with a napkin, a cloth napkin.
Yes,
and,
candles.
A tablecloth. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Take the time to really, enjoy it, chew it, taste it, you know. Anyway, don't just gobble it up and then,
run out the door with a rice cake in your mouth. And,
exactly.
Your keys jangling.
So let me give you another example, just to reinforce what I'm trying to explain, that you really just want to get these revelations for yourself.
Okay,
in Luke 14:25,
uh-huh.
Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Okay, I said, wow.
Pretty strong words.
If you don't hate
your mother,
yourself,
your father, your mother, then you're not part of me. And yet the Ten Commandments say, honor your mother and father.
All right. So that was that seems like a contradiction, right? So I went again and tried to find the Greek translation.
To the word hate.
Right.
Okay.
So hate in the Greek is miseo, M-I-S-E-O.
Okay.
The meaning here in the Greek is a separation or exclusion, excluding one from another. Usually out of guard against infection, spiritual or physically. For example, when Jews who were deemed unclean or ritually impure, they were to be separated from the general population.
Okay.
And that happened for a number of reasons. It could be because a woman had a period. It could be because somebody, had to bury a family member, they were near a dead body. It could be because someone had leprosy. So there's a lot of different reasons why someone would be quote unquote unclean or ritually impure.
Okay.
So that word then is used in that sense of others were not to come in contact with them. It doesn't say hate them.
Right.
It just says...
like, not love them.
Right. It says just remove yourself from mm-hmm. them. Right. So the word hate, as we understand it in English,
right.
has a lot of emotional baggage mm-hmm. that goes with it. Yeah. It's the opposite of love.
Right.
In our culture.
In our language, right.
Right, in exactly. our language. Why would Jesus tell you to hate your mother, your brother, your sister? It just didn't sound like
right.
God's
right.
character.
Right.
And that's actually not what he was saying. He was actually saying, create a separation between people that are drawing you away from me. It doesn't mean hate them. It doesn't mean anything emotional. It doesn't involve the emotions like the word hate does.
Right.
It's simply be on guard for infection.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That does make sense, though.
Your family, but do you really want to hang out with friends and family that are totally against what God is doing, or maybe on the fence, or you're constantly hearing negative
right.
reinforcement and negative reports?
Yeah, exactly. It all comes down to association.
Right.
Who you associate with, you'll be just like.
Jesus hung out with sinners and prostitutes. It's not about who the people are. It's more about what are they saying? What are they believing? How is that affecting your spiritual
right,
walk?
Right, that's right.
Which then can affect your physical
Absolutely.
Body and everything
sure.
else. So that's what that word means. It
right.
means be careful to separate yourself from people that might, quote unquote, infect you mm-hmm. because they're impure.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything that has to do with anger or malicious disregard,
mm-hmm.
like the word hate would mean.
Right.
That's just another example how a translation is so flat.
Yeah.
And in this case, very misrepresentative of what Jesus'
heart would be. Absolutely. Somebody doesn't take the time to go in to see what the word hate really meant, or even daily.
Right.
Man, they're missing out on great revelation that could affect the intensity and fruit of their walk.
Exactly.
Loving Jesus.
Right. So.
Wow. That's intense. I mean, I have two here, but they're nothing like... you know, they still could affect the way you walk and stuff, but you're like the Rick Renner of A History with God Ministries. Man. The two scriptures I wanted to share was, one was Philippians 4:19, mm-hmm. which reads, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." That sounds cool, right? He'll meet mm-hmm. all your needs.
Right.
However, the word needs there mm-hmm. is not in the original text.
Okay.
The word needs there translates to the word demands.
That sounds a little rough.
Doesn't it? And let me tell you what the Lord told me about that translator.
Okay.
He said that translator struggled with his righteousness because he just could not believe, he couldn't get his head around that if you made a demand, that God would back it up. Mm-hmm. And most people think, oh, I'm demanding God. You can't demand God. Why they go to that immediately,
right,
I don't
right.
get. Like, what, why? As a man
why.
Thinking in his heart, so is he.
I do know why.
Why?
Why people get upset about that.
Why?
Because they don't know who they are.
Well, there you go. That's translator struggled with his righteousness.
Right.
You know?
They don't understand that Jesus paid for everything. Let's say you go to a takeout place, right? And
yeah.
you order X, Y, and Z and... you know, the whole shebang, and you're really looking forward to it. You go, you pay, you go home, and you open the bag, and nothing in it is what you ordered. There's white rice in there.
Mm.
What are you going to do? It's I paid for this.
Right.
I paid for this great meal. I've been looking forward to it. I go back to the restaurant, and I demand to speak to the manager. I demand
right.
what I ordered
right.
because
yeah.
I paid for it.
Right.
Here's my receipt, proof of payment. I demand what belongs to me because it's been paid for. In this case, Jesus paid for it. Jesus did it all. He's got the receipt. He paid in his blood for everything. He paid for our prosperity. He paid for our health. He paid for our joy. He paid for your family to be reconciled.
Hmm.
I'm going to tell the devil or the circumstance, however you want to phrase it, I demand what's been paid for.
Right. Also in terms of like partnership. Check this out. And my God will supply all your demands according to his riches in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So if we break that down into partnership, you and God have a partnership. You and God are in relationship. You have
right.
a fellowship.
Right.
Okay. You're here in the world. He's in heaven. You have dominion in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When you see something that's evil or that's not right, you, as the righteous of God, as an overcomer, as a believer... you demand for that situation to come in line and to start working the way it's supposed to work and be the way it's supposed to be. And God, as your partner, comes into agreement and says, I'll support that. A matter of fact, I'll bankroll that. I'll supply that demand. Mm-hmm. He's recognizing it as a demand that you're placing on a situation in the earth. He's recognizing it as your senior partner, and he bankrolls it so that that demand can be supplied and made manifest in the earth. Mm. So it's like a partnership. Mm-hmm. So if you read it like, and my senior partner will bankroll any demand placed on the earth through Christ Jesus, who we know is rich in supply.
Right.
Mm. Most people say, oh, you can't push God around and bully God. God, I demand you to give me what I want. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, hey, partner, I'll place demands down here, and you're going to bankroll them up there and supply it, and together we will dominate the world.
Right.
The other one I have is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Right.
Actually, that's a mistranslation. Mm-hmm. And it's a little word that would make you do something that it's saying, not that it's bad to do, but it's not what this is saying to do.
Okay.
It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Mm-hmm. The original translation reads, and pray in spirit on all occasions. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You're going to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. You can walk around going, on all occasions. It actually doesn't make sense if you really think about it. The word "the" was added in there mm-hmm. by the privilege of the translator.
Okay.
And pray in spirit on all occasions, meaning to maybe pray inwardly or maybe pray not out loud. Mm-hmm. But pray in the spirit on all occasions is a totally different thing than praying in spirit. Mm-hmm. Usually when you're reading the Bible, some translations, I can't even say all of them. They'll usually have a word within the text that's italicized or in parentheses or something to differentiate it from the rest of the text.
Right.
That word usually means it was put there by the translator. It's like the one in Psalm, I think it's 112, when it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Now, in his house, lowercase h, is talking about the righteousness of God. It's talking about the saints, us.
Right.
So when you're the righteousness of God, there ain't no shall be. It is. Mm-hmm. The words shall and be were in italics. So I knew that was there because of the translator.
Right.
Wealth and riches are in my house. Why? I'm the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other podcast.
But that's what we're speaking?
Yes.
Just so we can let...
Just so it's out there.
Our partners know and our listeners know, we are speaking world domination.
World domination.
We should be, Christians, should be dominating this planet.
Especially the overcomers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, the overcomers.
Which, again, is another podcast.
Right.
Well, that was cool.
Yes.
Listen, just because you're reading the Bible, it doesn't mean what you're reading is even valid. You want to read it with the Holy Spirit's guidance, because he'll show you stuff like he shows Chris. He will show you things, and he will bring you deeper. He'll dive deep with you. He loves to dive deep. He loves to deep dive, right? Deep dive, dive deep, whatever. I don't even know. But with the word, he loves that, and he loves that when you're hungry for it, and you go with him.
Right, right.
Wonderful stuff. Just what came out of that word daily. Man, that is deep stuff. So, until next time.
Is next time a Q&A?
Next time is the Q&A.
It's the 30th.
No, it's the 2nd. It's February 2nd, which is Super Bowl Sunday. Which, by the way, we're not going to be employing any of Chris's Super Bowl techniques.
Wait a minute. We do not bet on the Super Bowl. We don't put money on it. We just say, oh, I guess, I wonder who's going to win. Right. All right, here's the thing.
Here's how you do it.
I don't even know who's playing.
I don't even know.
Isn't there something with their football?
Oh, these deflated footballs? I don't know. Why wouldn't that help the other team too, if that was even true?
Do they each get their own football?
Listen.
I don't know.
We don't care.
Here's what
we know.
I know a lot of people have a problem with this. We go for the food. We go for the fellowship.
But mostly the food.
Mostly the food. So, Super Bowl Sunday is next Sunday?
Yes.
All right.
So until next time, remember this. We love you.
Yay.
God loves
you. Yay.
And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.